a recent LDCU themed discussion, we invited a student panel to join us to share their experiences and ideas related to the issue of loneliness and isolation of online learning. I've extracted some of the student contributions and comments made during the meeting. So in the next 10 to 15 minutes, you will hear from six different students. We also managed to have some breakout discussions and contributions from staff. So after the students have spoken, I will also share some contributions from Lauren Elmore and Elaine Moore, both who are working in CLL. And I will also include some other comments and a final note of caution. I have to say it was a great meeting and the student contributions were very insightful. So first, let's hear from undergraduate student Emily Harros.
So I'm Emily. I'm a finalist in the School of Modern Foreign Languages. I'm in my final year studying English and German. So I guess my main takeaway is I think what's worked well during this in my experience is when students are put into breakout rooms. So that works very well. The more I think that you can get students interacting with each other within a specific lesson, is beneficial for all parties. Students talk more, they're more likely to be engaged in what's actually going on. And it's just so nice to see people. I mean, wow. it's the point really where these online classes, when things are happening in real time and you're sharing experience together, it's so important that you are talking to each other. So I think that's working well. Something that I think is maybe lacking and maybe needs a bit more thought, from my perspective and from other students who I've spoken to, I think there needs to be more thought put into communal spaces digitally. So the kind of effect when before COVID, the ability to be able to go to the library and just be in an environment where people are all working under similar pressures, and the physical experience of being in a room where everybody's kind of under that shared burden of constantly being assessed, and everything being quite important as it feels within when you're studying, I think there needs to be a little more thought put into how we can simulate that real space online.
Yeah, thanks for starting that discussion. And we might talk to some staff about ways that they might have done that. Have you been involved in anything just before we moved on that does that or that tries to achieve that? Or have you got any ideas on what it might be?
Yeah, so I think I've seen recently something called Study Buddies was recently brought into effect by Rebecca Stone. I'm going to be attending one of those. That's basically a space that happens on Teams where students post within a chat. They post about their goals, their learning goals for the day, and they can have one-on-one meetings with the staff within that period. But really, that space is there for students to motivate each other and to remind each other that they're learning today, and that there are other students, you know, sitting somewhere, wherever they are in the world, who are also learning. I think that was a successful example.
So thanks to Emily. And the next contribution is from Mahek Kalra from Economics.
I'm a final year economics student and I'm taking the design thinking module this term. And I think I've like noticed a huge difference between the design thinking module and like what I'm used to in the economics department, because we've had basically fully online learning. Like not really anything in person. Yeah. And I think even with the online, everyone sort of has their cameras off, like there's not really any interaction. So going from that to this module this term where we always like go in breakout rooms and like have discussions and use like, we used Miro, I think, the other day.
Yeah.
So that kind of collaborative working is like, it just feels a lot nicer because you don't feel so isolated and yeah. It's a lot more fun.
Can I ask you a question then, Mihak? So what might a tutor do in one of your other modules to try and encourage that discussion? Because do you end up in small groups or is this a large group? And do you find that just students aren't talking much? But what could we do about that, do you think?
So I think it's difficult in the lectures because there's so many people. Maybe in the seminars, you could be encouraged to like turn on your cameras and maybe have some breakout rooms where you can work on the problems together instead of like on your own.
Yeah. Okay. And so is it the case that you already know quite a lot of the students that you're working with, or half and half, or what would you say as far as that proportion is concerned?
Yeah, I would say I know a lot of them. Because I'm final year now, so I know like most people.
So in
a seminar you would at least know like one or two people in the group.
Yes. Yes. And what about that idea? We're going to talk later about there are, of course, benefits to using these sorts of tools. But nonetheless, there are lots of benefits to meeting people in the real world. Have there been some benefits that you've enjoyed or benefited from in terms of this mode of delivery?
I think it's the asynchronous like lectures that we have. I guess those are good because you can pause them and like take notes and watch at your own speed.
Yeah.
But then I guess you could always do that with recorded lectures before as well. So
yeah.
Whether it's that much of a difference.
No, it's interesting to think about that. And I suppose the only difference might be that the online lecture has been purpose made for a distance audience, which might help. Yeah.
Yeah, that is better because often in like live lectures, lecturers would be writing on the whiteboards and then that wouldn't be shown in the recording.
Yes.
So it's better now because they're like made to be watched at home. So
yeah.
That works.
No, that's interesting to hear. And it's interesting that at least you did manage to meet physically some of those students in advance, whereas perhaps some students haven't even had that opportunity. Yeah. So that's good. Thank you for that.
So thanks to Mahek there. And the next contribution is from Junaid Ashraf. He's a postgraduate student in politics and international studies.
So I'm Junaid Ashraf. I'm from Pakistan. I'm studying international development in politics and international studies department, PACE.
Yeah. And can I ask, did you start your program this year? Academic year? Yeah. And is it a one-year program or?
It's a one-year program, yep.
Yeah. So tell me about your experience then, because it must be very different to what you had hoped for. Just generally, what has your program been? Has it all been distance learning? Have you managed to do any classroom-based contact?
So, like, I came in October. Initially, I thought I can do it all online, but then my family said, you should go. So I came here in mid-October. And I had like online classes, but by end of term one, I had some face-to-face classes. And and the second term is all online. But to be honest, I don't mind the online classes, actually. I think they were good. Yeah. There were some classes that were like maybe just a few, but it wasn't I don't blame the teachers, but maybe students more. Like they are less participative and the cameras are off, but mostly they went good.
Sorry to interrupt, can you think of something that you've done that maybe did work in terms of bringing the students together or opening up your network and community, or maybe something that we could do more of?
I think like teacher could like try to like ask students to be more participative and like they are doing this in term two actually, and trying to tell students to keep their cameras on. And I think it's better this term than
And next to contribute was undergraduate student Laura Mercier.
So I'm currently a third year undergraduate student, so I study physics. So I've had a really similar experience to Megan and Mihak in that all of my lectures are online actually, and there's one live lecture a week, but in which the lecturer just answers questions that he's gotten in his emails or that people put in the chat. So there's very, very little interaction. But I'm part of the Intro to Design module, and that module was really different in that we get to collaborate a lot more. So I think that notion of a communal digital space I find really helpful. In that if you can put your ideas out and share it with people in a way that's less, that gives that where you have less pressure than talking in a seminar, I think that's really important. Because I've had a few seminars as well where nobody puts their cameras on and people Some people just don't speak, don't put their camera on, and just don't engage at all, and just join a call just to be marked present. Which is awful for everyone joining, because even if you want to speak, like, speaking to a wall is so difficult.
It's difficult, and it sounds like a challenge for the tutor as well, because if you've got lots of groups, how do you get round and make sure? And I guess when they're there, students might talk, but when they disappear, they don't. So that is difficult. Do you think breaking students down into even smaller groups, pairs, would that help, or do you have any thoughts on how we might overcome that?
I definitely think that breakout rooms help, and maybe a pair could help as well. But I think another approach would be finding more like interactive things to do. So in the way of teaching, in a more interactive and fun way.
Yeah. Yes. No, I understand. And just as you've described with the IATL module, and also the way that we tried to have some interactivity perhaps at the beginning. Yeah, was there anything else on that list maybe? Or is there anything you'd like to say in terms of how the move to blended and online learning might have helped? What have been any of the positives, would you say? Can you think of any?
Yeah, I think, as mentioned before, lectures in person really didn't make sense to me, in that basically, you couldn't ask a question because there are 300 people. You don't want to hold up the whole classroom for yourself. And kind of writing out a demonstration, it's better to understand it on your own time. So I thought that I definitely learned a lot better going through video lectures. And because they're made to be watched, you hear a lot better. You can see a lot better. Lecturers, sometimes they don't. Like, they're not careful in their writing on the board when they're there to speak, because obviously a student would say something, but in the recording it's a lot clearer, I thought, and that helped me learn quite a bit.
Some mature students from the Centre for Lifelong Learning, CLL, joined us. And first of all, here is Graham Ricketts.
I'm a part-time mature student via CLL doing social studies. So it's my third year, but I'm in between years one and two doing social studies. Two modules we're doing at the moment, admittedly, are online. Haven't had a problem actually working from home and doing the Zoom sessions. I think maybe some of the tutors need to learn how to use Zoom a bit more effectively, which is a learning curve in itself. It's amazing what you did this before all of us sat in a lecture theatre. One thing which I think we might struggle with, we're doing a coaching and mentoring course, and it'll be interesting to see how that plays out, because if we're supposed to be coaching each other at a distance, that would be a challenge.
That sounds good. And have you taken part? I know that CLL runs some community events. Have you been able to take part in any of those?
Just the odd quick discussion as a catch-up, really, but not specifically, no.
Yeah. You've found the experience... okay, working from home, but do you miss the classroom experience?
Yeah, 100%. Miss obviously going to the library. There's no buzz about the place, which is such a shame because it's such a great place. But when we first started doing the coaching and mentoring, we were all in the class, admittedly with masks on. Even though that was difficult, it was great to be in the same room with human beings. But moving on to Elaine and Lauren, we had a catch up a couple of weeks ago, and that was great, and I wish more people would turn up to that. It's really, really good.
And next we hear from another CLL student, undergraduate Abby Strong.
I'm with CLL. I'm on the 2+2 social studies. I'm in the second year.
Yeah, and does that mean that you're still at one of the partner colleges?
Yes.
That's interesting to hear, particularly, of course, as the pandemic has affected all aspects of education and all organisations equally, presumably. But interestingly for you then, Abby, you would have met most of your classmates last year. Is that right?
Yeah, I feel really lucky that I got to know all of my, all of the people in my group, and we were all together until sort of the end of March.
Yeah, so that's helped. And what about your experience moving to online? How has that been?
Yeah, I think we had a bit of a rocky start, and on a personal level, because I've shielded all this time. So I, when we were able to go into the actual college, I couldn't for a while, and the online facilities weren't available then. But it has changed. I think working from home is, it's challenging. I'm a single parent. I've got two children who I'm homeschooling. Yeah. It's hard to get motivated. And I think, like everybody else has said, when I'm actually on an online lecture, everyone's turned their cameras off. And some, you generally, or I find that there are probably one or two students that keep that lecture going with the lecturer, and everyone else doesn't contribute at all.
Yeah.
And that is a weird situation.
Well, you've mentioned, Abby, you've mentioned a couple of important things there. And one of those is the motivation, which is a common challenge, you know, that difficulty of just, where do I start? I can't be bothered. And that difficulty of maybe that downward spiral of motivation and time management and feeling that you're falling behind. So that's an interesting one. And then, of course, your added situation where you're a parent as well, and having to tackle those challenges. Have there been some positives at all? Then, would you say? You don't have to have any.
I'm just trying to think. I am a sort of a people-y person. I like being in class. I like being able to bounce ideas off people.
Yeah.
So I think for me, I can't wait to get back.
Yeah. And that's understandable. Thank you for popping up, and it's good to speak to you, and I hope we can carry on the conversation. Thank you.
Two members of staff, Lauren Elmore and Elaine Moore, joined us to tell us about some of the activity that they've been involved in, which has been helping to tackle some of the issues discussed, especially building the sense of community and helping to connect students.
So I'm Lauren, I'm Student Engagement Coordinator in the Centre for Lifelong Learning.
I'm Elaine, the Student Welfare Officer in the centre.
And so a few things we've been doing, it's nothing really groundbreaking. We have a weekly coffee morning that Elaine and I go and join, which is what Graham was referring to earlier, which is a really lovely opportunity to catch up with all the students and talk about things generally not too related to study, but it sort of moves in and out. I believe they were talking about study speed dating earlier when I arrived. So we'll cover all sorts of topics.
Very academic.
Oh, yes. As you can tell, we're quite an informal little group. We also have sort of fortnightly workshops, because we understand our students don't have tons of free time, but they do want to have a chance to interact with each other. So with the workshops, at least it means you're getting some added value. It's not just come along and spend an hour talking to me and Elaine, as lovely as we are. You're also getting some study skills there, but we try and make those as interactive as possible, with as much discussion, so students get to have a chat with each other, learn some skills, learn some coping mechanisms, because our students, and I've seen a few of them floating around here, they're the ones that are living it, and they're the ones that have got all the great advice. And we also have recently set up a always open student common room Teams section, where our students can just go and drop in anytime, post a message or start a meeting and chat with whoever's about there.
Yeah. Elaine, what about yourself and your work? Obviously, you're as a student welfare coordinator, officer, manager, you must have seen the other side of well-being and some of the challenges. Have you got any comments and thoughts on this topic?
Yeah, I think many of our students have caring responsibilities. So that might be for elder relatives or for young children in homes. So some of their challenges has been just around managing their time with that and homeschooling and technology. But as Lauren said, we offer spaces. And I also do some tailored one-to-one work for our mature students. Yeah. So that helps keep them grounded, I think. But I think the anxieties are very different.
Yeah, thank you for that. And
no worries. It's a shame
we haven't got longer, but great to see you both.
Lovely to see you.
Thank you. And that's interesting to hear, of course, because with mature students who may have caring responsibilities, they may well be parents or carers, then they often have experiences that staff might have where they're perhaps involved in homeschooling or other responsibilities.
We had almost 40 attendees, including the staff and students you have heard from at the workshop. And then for the final 10 minutes or so, we broke up into breakout rooms to discuss some of the ideas further. We then used the interactive tool Vivox briefly at the end to take some feedback. And here is a selection of that feedback. One comment suggested that maybe there needs to be more variety in the activities in seminars. They said that it can get dull doing the same type of thing each week and people lose enthusiasm to contribute. Another group had said they were sharing thoughts on interactivity and had been discussing the discrepancy between students wanting more interactive sessions but then not always taking up the opportunities that are provided for them. I think in my experience, forums can be a classic example of this, and it's a tricky one. It's important to be persistent and for the tutor to stay engaged and respond to or encourage the use of these appropriate channels of communication, but it's not easy. I would say don't give up. Share tools like the forum in your teaching. Try and share views of Moodle as well when you're screen sharing, and hopefully by bringing these tools into the classroom, online or elsewhere, then that might help, but it's not easy. A number of comments related to students connecting with each other and being prepared to communicate online. One suggestion was about reviewing the timetable even, and they said it would be great to try and group teaching time together. That way, students can spend more time together in a session and perhaps have more opportunity to connect with each other. Another comment suggested that group dynamics are an important factor, and that these play a large part in online group behaviour. There are parallels here, they said, with running multiple small group workshops in person. For example, the same guidance and learning design can lead to very different outcomes. So perhaps we have to accept that there will be variation. And perhaps related to this was another comment that expectation setting is important. So what the tutor expects and what the student can expect from the session. And the clearer we can be about those expectations, the better. There is therefore some discussion to be had about how to make effective use of breakout rooms, and these are proving increasingly popular. Random rooms can help during a session to mix students up, but regular fixed cohorts may be more appropriate, especially for ongoing group work. One useful comment suggested that breakout rooms are popular and can encourage students to engage, but they thought that perhaps we should allow an extra 5 to 10 minutes before the start of a session or afterwards to allow for informal chat. And quite like that point, because it reminds us of those informal discussions that can occur on the way into a session, perhaps outside while you're waiting for a session to start or a lecture to begin in physical space, and also the conversations that might happen on the way out. Further to this was a suggestion that more training should be given to tutors so that they can learn how to use the breakout rooms, and also a comment that teachers may well need more training and support for online learning in general. So there'll never be one size fits all for any groups or class, whether being taught face to face or online. But one topic that is worth considering and further discussion is the use of cameras. Seeing each other and having the chance to see visual responses to conversation can be useful and help to form some connectivity when we're online. But it will, of course, depend on a number of factors. And here are some comments related to this. One group suggested that keeping cameras on seems an important issue to address. On my course, they said, we all have to have our cameras on. But our course perhaps is different to others, as we are together all day, 10 till 5 p.m. So we're getting to know each other. Someone else commented that, from the discussion that had taken place in the workshop today, I can see how important it is to keep my camera on in lectures, and I'm going to share this and feed this back to my group. But there was a note of caution from at least one participant who reminded us that it's important and helpful to create a safe space when in an online call. And one of the examples of this is saying to students that it's okay not to have your cameras on, and they commented that they didn't care whether the student's camera or microphone was on or if they just wanted to type in the chat. The important thing was that students are allowed and encouraged to talk and contribute in whatever way they feel most comfortable, as long as the conversation is taking place. So a note of caution. And I think there are some great points here. And as far as cameras are concerned, it may be that perhaps in smaller groups or even in pairs, students might feel more confident to turn them on. But as this final comment suggests, there may be good reasons why a student doesn't always want to share a personal view. And therefore, we must be careful not to alienate students by making them feel uncomfortable. So, as I said, there's not one size fits all. Expectations, what you want out of the session as a tutor, and what students are comfortable to contribute and do will always be a factor. Finally, there was some good feedback for the session, and one individual said how useful and interesting it had been, and it was great to hear from a range of voices, undergraduate, postgraduate, teaching staff, wellbeing staff, academic technology staff, etc. And they suggested that we should use this model to hold more open sessions, including meetings like this in departments, to bring together tutors and students. Well, I can't argue with that, and that's a great point. And as we found on this day when this took place, getting staff and students talking is a positive step in ensuring that we continue to think about and deliver and develop effective and hopefully enjoyable teaching and learning experiences. So that's it for this special edition podcast. I hope you enjoyed hearing from the students as much as I did. Thanks to all of the contributors, including the staff and those who provided feedback during the workshop. We're considering how we will take this forward and plan to run some further staff-student events later this term. I know that staff-student co-creation is also high on the agenda, with a Wahia Learning Circle looking at this very topic as they investigate embedding co-creation into everyday educational practice at Warwick. And as we found during our workshop, these sorts of partnerships really do create a richer experience for everyone. My name is Jim Judges. Please do get in touch if you have anything to share or would consider being interviewed for a future podcast. I would also encourage you to check the Warwick LDCU web pages for future events, including our regular weekly open discussions on the theme of online learning. That's it. Thanks for listening.